Good morning and welcome everybody. Lovely sunny day again. There'll be tea and coffee at the end of this service as usual, so do feel free to go through to the Mayor Hall and you'll meet other people, and you can come back here at 11:30 if you'd like to come to the next service, which will be different to this one, but very significant. Next Sunday, yes, longer in bed. It's 11 o'clock service, and then we go on to the church meeting. Pastoral news this week. Philip Sawney is in Harefield Hospital with a fever. And Dot Dixon is in Kennet Ward in Kingston Hospital. So can we remember those particularly? Now, there's a lot happening this week, as usual. Monday, I don't know why it's not on the service paper, but you have remembered, haven't you? 7:30, it's Christianity Explored. Monday. Tuesday, Esther, 7:30. Wednesday, 2 o'clock, there's a summer tea, which will be a very warm affair for a lot of people, so do come along. And then on Saturday, it's the Surrey Church's cycle ride, and if you feel you can't partake, you can sponsor Liz Cook, who will be certainly riding, and she can tell you more about it. And then jumping on to Sunday the 26th of September, it's back to church Sunday, so we all need to start thinking about it. Here is an invitation card, and there are a lot of them at the back, so you can talk to your friends and say come along, and then to remind them you can give them a card so that they can't possibly forget. As you know, Vaughan is away for this month, so I'm standing in, so I'll try and be around as much as possible. And if you have anything for Robin, who is particularly busy at the moment as treasurer, could you please give things to me and I'll pass them on to him. And finally from me, Kingston have suddenly realised they've got a history. Surprise, surprise. And so they've appointed somebody to develop tourism just like that. And I've been asked to contribute names to a focus group of 8 people to suggest how to do this. So if anybody would like to put their names forward, could you tell me at the end of this service, please? Now, Liz, shoeboxes on Romania or both.
Derek didn't mention that on Saturday it's a talk by Heather Matthew about Link Romania and the shoebox appeal. It's an illustrated talk and it's about the trip that she and her partner George did to Romania and other countries last Christmas actually to deliver the shoeboxes, and I think there's going to be a lot of interest in that and a chance for us, those of us who are interested, to ask questions and get a little bit more detail about what goes on and what it's all about. So that's 10:30 on Saturday. There's going to be refreshments available well beforehand and after, so I think the talk will last about an hour. Hope to see you there. Let us join together to worship God. The Lord says, I am giving you the choice between life and death. Choose life.
angel voices ever singing, we join to pray. Let us join to pray. Let us pray. Choosing God, you chose to give up everything and make yourself tiny and vulnerable. You chose to challenge injustice and overturn the tables in the temple. You chose to heal and to comfort and to cry over the city of Jerusalem. You chose to feast and to celebrate and to share bread and wine. You chose to follow a path that led to the foot of the cross. You chose women to witness the dawning of an Easter morning. We have responded to your call and have gathered here to worship you today. May we know your presence with us, your presence that challenges us and empowers us. Praise to you, our magnificent God, beyond us and with us. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. When he first went to school, she was there. And somehow they were with one another. And they played together. And one day she said to him, "Would you be my friend?" And he said to her, "Yes, I will be your friend." And from then on in, he was her friend. Sometimes she was a very difficult person to be the friend of. Sometimes she said silly things. She wore silly clothes. But always he was her friend. And people would ask him, "Why are you her friend?" And if it was a bad day when she had done something silly, he just had to say, "I am her friend because I said I would be her friend." And so, when we started big school, senior school, I was still her friend. And now we have left school, I am still her friend. And for her, he was one of the most important people. Not because he was the cleverest, not because he was the best looking, not because he thought of the best games or knew the best stories, but he was always, always going to be her friend. We're going to sing. We're going to sing with some actions. All right, not those actions, but these actions. Come on, up you get. Come on, I'm not by myself. A wise man built his house upon the rock. Rain comes falling down. You can do it. All right, I'll let you do the action so long as you stay seated. You can do that. Go on. Jesus spends his life surrounded by a crowd of people and moves from one place to another place, surrounded by a crowd of people. And he, knowing where he is heading, Jerusalem, which he knows is going to be death, challenges this crowd of people to make the biggest decision. Liz Bartlett is going to read this passage from the Gospel according to Luke.
Luke 14, verses 25 to 33. Once, when large crowds of people were going along with Jesus, he turned and said to them, "Those who come to me cannot be my disciples unless they love me more than they love father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and themselves as well. Those who do not carry their own cross and come after me cannot be my disciples. If one of you is planning to build a tower, you sit down first and work out what it will cost to see if you have enough money to finish the job. If you don't, you will not be able to finish the tower after laying the foundation, and all who see what happened will laugh at you. This man began to build but can't finish the job, they will say. If a king goes out with 10,000 men to fight another king who comes against him with 20,000 men, he will sit down first and decide if he is strong enough to face that other king. If he isn't, he will send messengers to meet the other king to ask for terms of peace while he is still a long way off. In the same way, concluded Jesus, none of you can be my disciple unless you give up everything you have.
This passage about the making sure you got the cost for the building of a tower is one of those passages which you hear it, you read it, and you think, oh yeah, I know what that means. But the more you think about it and the more you study it, the more you realise that actually it's really difficult to understand. How can you possibly know if you have enough resources to be a follower of Jesus before you start? You don't know what life is going to throw at you. You don't know the challenges of faith. You don't know what questions people are going to ask. You don't know what life is going to throw at you. So how can you know? Or to use the metaphor, how can you possibly have enough money and bricks, enough soldiers to win the battle? But it is a word of caution about saying that you will do something and you will deliver or not. And that is a wise thing to remember. It also has to be said that really and truly, Jesus would never have used that story to a congregation like this. It's not a story for the committed. It's the story for the maybe possibly on the edges. It's a story to encourage people to think about it and to make commitment. So if you're left thinking, well, come on, please, I've already made that decision. You're right, I agree with you. But here, these are the texts we're wrestling with. So Jesus says, imagine hating your father, your mother. Imagine that. But we know people who do. We know people who ignore their parents. That happens in our times. We also know people for whom it is completely reasonable that they have a very long distance between themselves and their parents because they have been the victims of cruelty. For Jesus, though, he lived in times where family was the basis of your social provision. Family was the centre of your social care, your pension provision, your housing benefit, your ambulance service. All of that is encapsulated in the word family. It's not about hating them anyway. It's about putting him first. The message is, discipleship has to be the absolute number one priority. It is more important than anything else. And what does that mean? It doesn't mean that you commit yourself to being a follower of Jesus Christ and then you withdraw to a hermitage and you have nothing more to do with anybody and nothing more to do with your family. It means that you will make God your number one priority, and if God is love, then that love will flow out into all your relationships. And guess what? Your family and those closest to you will benefit as well. It's not an either or. If love becomes the most important thing to you, then will not love have to be worked out in those around you that you love? And therefore, will you not become a blessing to be with? The message of the story is, it's not enough to do a rash thing. It's not something to be a follower of Jesus that you can say, oh yeah, I'll do that. I'm with them. I'm one of that gang. It's not something to be done quickly or lightly. It's not this week's fad. So this week I'm going to be a Christian. Next week I'm going to follow Kabbalah. And the week after that I'm going to become a Muslim. It's not like that. It's about a public declaration of something that is going on inside you. And it would be very public, would it not, to build a tower? For years and years and years, what you many of you won't know is that my father was fitting out his boat. For like 10 years, this boat was across the backyard, and there it was where the garage had once been. He spent 10 years fitting out this boat. And there were neighbours who thought he was... Well, one, they thought he was Noah. Or thought that he thought he was Noah. And two, they thought he was bonkers and it was never going to be done. But it was. The day came when it was lifted up onto the low loader and put into the sea at Blythe. But what a twit he would have looked. And similarly, you know, to say, oh yes, I'm a Christian. And even those people who aren't very much in favour of you being a Christian in your family, if you were to say, no, I'm not doing that anymore, they will look askance. Think, well, you know, so you're the sort of person who commits to things and then changes your mind? So, the challenge of it is, though, is to have some sort of reflection and some sort of understanding of what it is that you're getting yourself into. There is a danger currently in worldwide Christianity, this growing and developing thing that Christianity is on the global scale, that it is, to quote, 1 mile wide but only 1 inch deep. If your experience of being a follower of Jesus Christ is 1 inch deep, then, my friends, you are very, very vulnerable to being smashed by the ravages of life. That tower thing, it needs foundations. Being able to say, oh yes, I'm a Christian, I'm one of that gang, it's working out of your core choice. And the last thing I would say is the point of this story from the mouth of Jesus is not to make people think, great, ha, towers, I'm not going to build one of them. It's about making us reflect upon the choices that we make and the outworking of them. About a consistency to what we say we are going to do, the way that we are going to live, and how it plays out. If you never make a choice, well, you can't live, can you? But this is a big, core, fundamental choice that affects every single thing about you. how you spend your time, how you spend your money, who you hang around with, what you buy in the shops, what you don't buy in the shops, what you watch on the telly, what you won't watch on the telly, who you're friends with, who you're not friends with, every single thing. And the challenge of Jesus is, do it, but let's have a moment's reflection. We're going to join together to pray for others. And I've got a request from Anne Phillips that we would pray for her granddaughter, who is Private Monique Reynolds, who is going off to Afghanistan for 6 months. She works with sniffer dogs. So remember her, pray for the dogs as well, and all those other soldiers who are serving in Afghanistan. Let us be still, and then we will pray. There are those who went to work as miners, and things went wrong, and they are trapped, caught, and their families and friends are at the top, and they are underground, and they are hot, and everyone is anxious. And there are those who have gone to fight for their country overseas. And there are those who are going. And there are family and there are friends who are worried. In the US, in the UK, and in Afghanistan. There are those who have gone from their homes because the water forced them out. Floods, swirling, destructive. The implications, unknowable. Death, food, clean water. Here we are, sometimes making our moves, sometimes staying back. At times we are worried and we are anxious. Jesus facing Jerusalem, going into the thick of it, doing what you believe to be right. Help us with the challenges that we will come across this week, to work out what is right, and then to have the courage to do it. And be a light to us. And those in dark places that we have prayed for. In the name of Jesus, Amen. So let's continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. Lord our God, we bring the ordinary things of life, food, drink, and money. And with them we bring ourselves. Take us and our gifts of money to do your work in the world. Take this food and drink from our tables and feed us from your table with your love. Accept the praise we offer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The hymn, I Come With Joy To Meet My Lord. Thank you. together at this table, and we remember Jesus, who was born of Mary, who lived out our common life on the earth, who suffered and died for us, on the third day was raised to new life. In his presence, with the company of all the people of God, past, present, and to come, we celebrate the supper of the Lord. Here again, the narrative of the institution as given to us by the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took a cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So in the name of the Lord Jesus, we take this bread and this cup. We set these gifts from all ordinary and common use to this holy use and this mystery. And as Jesus gave prayers of thanks, so let us join to pray. Let us pray. We thank you, living God, for the challenge of discipleship and for your constant concern for us. We thank you that with you, life need never be dull, and there is always the opportunities for new ways of service. We thank you for the constancy of your commitment and your love. We thank you, O God, for the joy of being called to give more, for the expectation that each of us has something to offer and the challenge to find it. We thank you, O God, that you are with us in those times of suffering. And we thank you also for those experiences that we have had which have been tough, but yet from which we have learnt some of the most important things. May these gifts of bread and wine remind us of these truths. Pour out your Spirit on these gifts. Transform them and us as we receive to be your people, to be your gifts, to your praise and to your glory. Alleluia. Amen. The Lord Jesus took bread, broke it, when it comes to the bread which the elders will offer to you, if you would like to eat and drink with us, then please take a piece and eat it. And when you see the plate, you will notice that there is a large collection of brown bread, but there also is something that's a bit different. And that is for those who can't eat wheat. That bread is for them. When it comes to the wine, we ask that you would all hold it and we would all drink together. And all this wine is for us to drink in solidarity with those who have issues with alcohol. The body of Christ. Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a cup and said, "This is my blood which is shed for you." Taste and see that the Lord is good. Lord our God, many of us have decided that we will give our all to build our particular tower. Thank you for feeding us so that we have the energy, the strength, courage, determination to keep on doing what we said we would do. Thank you. In Jesus' name, Amen. Eventually, I got a hymn out of Peggy and Marguerite, and it was number 268, Jesus is Lord, 268. To serve the Lord, and the blessing of God the Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit, be with us and those who we love, for now, forever. Amen.
the light's still on.
Oh, okay, that's fine, thank you.
Well, well done, Lord.
It's still recording. Still recording.